Grace be to you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today, as Pastor Burgess mentioned a few minutes ago, is our gospel lesson for today from the book of Luke. I won't reread it now. I'll certainly refer back to it in the sermon itself. I will begin today by saying in Christ Jesus, my dear Christian friends. I'm wondering if you had ever heard of that phrase, mind the gap, before Pastor Burgess introduced it to you today. I had not heard it until the series came out. So I looked it up. Pastor Burgess gave you a pretty good little synopsis of what it means. Mind the gap is something you find a lot on signs in the United Kingdom. You find it on signs by subways and train stations and elevators and boating docks and things like that. Basically, it means watch your step. If you're going to ride something in the United Kingdom, just about anything, there's usually a space or a gap between you and the thing that you're going to ride, and they don't want you to take a wrong step, fall into something, and really hurt yourself. So they've got the signs out there, mind the gap. Today, in our lesson, in the gospel lesson, we find that there was a man who basically interrupted Jesus' sermon, that he was surrounded by thousands of people preaching a sermon, and the man interrupted, and he wanted Jesus to take his side in a dispute about a family inheritance. And Jesus basically replied by saying, look, I wasn't called here to start being an arbiter between family disputes with inheritances and things like that. However, I think we can all take a moment, we can take a pause here and just mind the gap of earthly wealth. We can all learn a lesson here and mind the gap of earthly wealth. Because Jesus knew if somebody isn't careful with their money and their things, their possessions, their inheritances, you can easily stumble in your faith. And potentially, these things can ruin your faith. So today, that's what we're going to do. We are going to take a few minutes and take a look at, see what Jesus said, and mind the gap of our earthly wealth so that we do not lose our step and stumble in our faith. As far as Jesus was concerned, he kept things pretty simple, didn't he? In the lesson, he kept it really simple. There were two basic principles that guided minding the gap of your wealth. Principle number one goes like this. Money and things are not the measure of real life. So real life is not measured by stuff. It's not measured by possessions. Jesus put it this way. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's important because that one basic principle stands in stark contrast to every commercial, every advertisement that our culture has to offer. Our materialistic society has always said that your satisfaction, your standing in life, your success, it's all in direct proportion to what you own, what you win, what you accumulate along the way in your life. Did you know that in the Greek language there are three different words that stand for life? The first one goes like this, bios. Think of the word biography. So it stands for the number of days that you have here on this earth. It stands for the amount of possessions that you accumulate during your life. A second word sounds like this in the Greek language, psyche. In the English, it reads like this, psyche. Think of the word psychological. Right, so that would stand for the values and the relationships that make up you and your life. But then there's a third word that sounds like this, zoe. Now, zoe is a little bit different. Zoe means the life that is offered to everybody in the call to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sins. And because of Him, through Him, to have a life with God, a personal relationship with God Himself. That's the word that Luke used in our lesson for today. He basically said, hey, look, a man's zoe does not consist in the abundance of his stuff. That kind of a life, a real life, a life with God, a life where you know that you have the forgiveness of your sins and you are a member of God's own family, that kind of a life cannot be measured by, can't be satisfied with, can't be reduced to things that you have. That kind of a life, a real life, a godly life, that can only be given to you as a gift from God Himself, because He made you a part of His family through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus sounded the warning, didn't He? He said, mind the gap of your possessions, of your wealth. Don't fall into this trap of trying to find satisfaction or trying to achieve your zoe, your godly life, with things, with stuff. It just doesn't work. It'll never work. But remember, there were two guiding principles that Jesus spoke of when it comes to minding the gap of our wealth. The second principle, He didn't just state it outright. Jesus told a parable about it. He told the story of a man who was already wealthy. Remember in the parable, it said that his barns were already full? They were already full. He had a bumper crop, and he had so much stuff, so many possessions, so much grain, he didn't know what to do with himself. He just had so much. So he came up with a plan. This is what he said. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Not a bad plan, right, for a guy who has more than he knows what to do with. But as the conversation continued with himself in the conversation, he showed his flaw in his thinking and the greed and selfishness of his heart. This is what he said. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Did you see where the man went wrong? It all started with a heart that could simply see nothing beyond himself. Jesus even said in the parable, right? He began the whole parable by saying, the ground produced a certain crop. The man didn't do anything himself to earn what he had. In the course of the conversation with himself, did you notice he referred to himself at least 12 times or more? He said things like, what shall I do? My crops, I will store, my grain, my goods. His earthly wealth was a gift to him, and yet he was hopelessly self-absorbed through the whole thing. Hopelessly selfish. What's more, did you notice that the man seemingly could not see anything beyond this life? All of his plans were all tied up with things here. He wanted things here for this life. He wanted to live the good life here. His heart was all wrapped up in here. And that caused him to have that greed in his heart so that he could satisfy all of his longings for here in this life. You know, there's a story of a young man who was, very ambitious. A conversation that he had with an older man after church one day. Conversation went something like this. Younger man says, you know, I am going to learn a trade. The older man replies, and then? Well, then I'm going to build my business with my trade. And then I am going to build my fortune. I'm going to make a lot of money. And then I suppose I'm going to retire someday and live off my wealth and all the money that I've made. And then, I suppose someday I'll pass away and die. And then came the last stabbing question from the older gentleman. And then? You see, the rich man in the parable, his biggest problem was not that he was aggressively saving for retirement. His biggest problem was not that he was building bigger barns to store his things. His biggest problem is that he viewed his things and he used his things as if there were no God. No God who had given him these things as a gift to be used, and no God who would ever hold him accountable for how he used those things from God's gracious hand. It's not hard, is it? It's not hard to relate to that man in the parable, right? That too many times we just do not mind the gap of our wealth very well. Sometimes I think we're like a little boy that sat in front of me in church a long time ago when I was in high school. A little boy was sitting there with his parents, and the sermon ended, and they were going to take the offering. And the parents gave their little boy a nickel to put in the offering plate. And when the offering plate came to their row, the little boy clutched the nickel. He wasn't going to give up the nickel to put it in the offering plate. And the battle ensued between he and his parents. It was quite entertaining. Parents grabbing the wrist, shaking the wrist, trying to get the nickel out of the hand to get it in the offering plate. And the little boy shouted at the top of his lungs for the whole world to hear, "But it's my money!" Sometimes I think our sinful nature, your sinful nature and mine, screams the very same thing in our ears so much of the time, right? It's my money. I earned it. It's my stuff. I wanted it. It's my trip. I deserve it. Sometimes we show a whole lot more concern and passion for our 401k than we do for the Lord's sure promises in His Word that He's going to be the one to take care of us for the future. Sometimes our vision for the future is so short-sighted, isn't it? So short-sighted. We can only see this life in our retirement years. It's as far as we go. We too often forget about the and then that comes at the end. That there is a God who has a say, the most important say in how we view and use our money and our things. You know, Jesus' assessment of the man and you and me in that parable was not very flattering, was it? There are two times in all of the Gospels where Jesus actually used the word fool. And he used it here in this lesson to describe your behavior and mine as it mirrors that man in the parable too much of the time. You know, Jesus simply says to us, don't be that guy. I've laid it out for you. Don't be that guy. And that brings us then to the second guiding principle for minding the gap of our wealth today, where Jesus said, actually, you are that guy. You are that guy if you are only rich toward yourself and you are not rich toward God. Then you're that guy. And I suppose all of these things can be resolved, right? If you just follow what Jesus said in the lesson. He was made it pretty simple, right? If you are rich toward God, then you're fine. You have nothing to worry about. So it begs the question then, right? What exactly does it mean to be rich toward God? A lot of people have tried to answer that question through the years. Some people will say, oh, being rich toward God, that simply means give a whole lot of money to church. Just give a whole boatload of money to church, and that's the most direct route, it's the quickest route, and you'll be fine. Some people say, look, being rich toward God means to help people who cannot help themselves. So help poor people. Be generous toward people who simply cannot do as much as you, or they can't do anything for themselves. Or give as much as you can just to further God's kingdom, and you'll be fine. Now, to be sure, doing those things with a heart of faith in service to your Lord, those are nice things to do. But in the lesson for today, Jesus talked about being rich toward God as being different than earthly things. Being rich toward God was different because instead of talking about or being involved with earthly things, it stood in sharp contrast to being greedy and wanting more and more things and using your things in the wrong way. Being rich toward God instead involved spiritual treasures, spiritual blessings. Being rich toward God means that you rejoice and are grateful for the forgiveness of your sins that Jesus won for you and fully and freely gives to you. Being mindful of Jesus' trip to the cross where he paid for all of my greed and yours and all of your covetousness and mine, that makes us rich indeed. Because we know that our mountain of sins, our selfish sins, have all been forgiven. It changes our whole attitude, changes us from the inside out, how we view everything. Being rich toward God, boy, that's his gift to us, so that we see things differently. So that finally I'm not a spiritual fool in the end, but I have peace and joy in my heart for how I look at life and the things that are in my life. Being rich toward God is a gift from the Lord to be able to look at spiritual blessings as a way to affect material blessings. Having spiritual blessings in our life helps me to see the things in my life in a different way, as a gift from God himself. But here's the thing. As we're filled up with spiritual blessings, as we are rich toward God, it naturally affects how I use my material possessions. Right? If I'm rich toward God, if I see things the way he wants me to see them, well, then I look at my material blessings in a completely different way. Instead of trying to serve myself with my stuff, I look for ways to serve my Lord with my stuff. For example, did I ever tell you about my retirement dream? This is my dream. My dream is that the Lord would give my wife and I enough money in retirement so that we can go and spend some time with all of our mission churches across our nation. We just think that would be a whole lot of fun. We could help mission churches in our synod with their programs that they run and making calls on people. But I'm in the unique position where I can preach sermons for the pastor to help to him. I can teach Bible classes for the pastor. I can lead worship for the pastor. I can really be a help to him. And I'd like to be able to do that. My dream is that the Lord would help Michelle and I save enough money so that in retirement, that's what we're able to do. That's my dream. What's your dream? What have God's spiritual blessings that have so gripped your heart that you were so rich toward God that you now want to use his material blessings for him in different ways? What's your dream? Yeah, I met a guy once who said, what I've always wanted to do is to build God a church. I've always wanted to do that. Never worked out, so I just sold some land and donated it to the building fund. There's another family who told me once, look, we're not wealthy people. We don't have a lot of money to burn. But we have a yard. We have a nice yard. So we are the ones, we're just the safe place for children to play in the neighborhood. And we just host things for church and school and stuff like that. That's our way to serve and to use our stuff for the Lord. Being rich toward God in your heart. For what he's done for you, it really helps to mind the gap of our wealth and how we use the material things that he's given to us. Minding the gap. Boy, Jesus was right on, wasn't he? Minding the gap of our wealth. It's certainly not sinful, is it? It's not sinful to have money and possessions and things. Boy, if you look in the Bible, it's chock full of people, lots of people who had an abundance of earthly wealth from the hand of God himself. God was the one that made them rich. But the danger is a greed for more and more and more so that you trust in those things and you become a spiritual fool in the end. May God help each one of us then to always be rich toward God, so mindful and grateful for his spiritual blessings, of his grace and his love, his forgiveness for us in our hearts, so that it always spills over into our lives and how we use our material possessions, being generous with the Lord's things and how we honor him with our life. May God help us to do that as we mind the gap for him. Amen.